It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events,
sports,
arts, entertainment,
food topics,
automotive topics,
relationships.
It's all here. Now, from belowtopsecret.com, this is the BTS Mix.
Welcome to this edition of the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And Spencer, this is our 15th show already. I can't even believe it. Number 15. I don't know if that's any sort of a benchmark in website radio, but I think we might have breached something. Maybe we'll get a cake or something. I don't know. And of course, our good friends over at Above Top Secret, Dave and Johnny, just had their 1 year anniversary, which is incredible. I remember when they first started this, and you know, it's just incredible that they've already gone a year. And you know, wow, they've packed in a lot of really cool interviews. I mean, Jesse Ventura, the earthquake experts. I mean, it's just been a great season for them. It's really been good.
They really do a great job over there, and it's always fun to download them onto my iPhone and listen to the show. Well, have you had a break from the heat, Doc?
Yeah, actually, now we're getting pummeled with thunderstorms. So it's, I guess, one or the other. You're going to get really hot weather, or you're going to get pummeled by rain and thunder.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the middle part of the country right now just really inundated with floods. They're saying this is an unprecedented hydrological event, like a 500-year flood, and it's just going to cause problems all over.
Oh, yeah. And to anyone listening out in Iowa right now, I was reading that 35,000 Iowans are now being evacuated from their homes because of the flooding. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So, you know, our hearts obviously go out to anyone who's being affected by all of the water that is dropping. Hang in there, and hopefully it'll be over soon for you guys.
The food prices are going to start shooting up. We've already seen corn start to climb in the futures market. It's just, it's incredible. Of course, out here in West Texas, yeah, 100-degree weather continues, and of course, we whine about 100-degree weather. We live out in the desert, you know, we should be used to this, but checking the sandbox over in Iraq, their high temperatures during the day, around 120, 125 degrees right now.
And imagine wearing 80 pounds of equipment and full camo fatigues, and sometimes even more, so you can kind of get a clue of, you know, what our guys are going through over there, and, you know, again, hats off, so... So what's new, Spencer? What's going on, man? What's new in the news with Mr. Spencer?
Well, I got to tell you, I had a great Father's Day, but just like any other guy, the wife goes, you know, you can have Father's Day off, but I've got all these little to-do lists that need to be done on Saturday. So that's what I did. I did a lot of yard work on Saturday, got a lot of that knocked out, and then Sunday kind of rested and enjoyed some family time, did a little cooking out, which was great in 104-degree weather. It wasn't too bad. But last Friday, I went and got off early and was able to make a matinee at the movies for M. Night Shyamalan's movie, The Happening. Now, Doc, I got to tell you, I went into this movie with, and I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, okay, other than the fact that I will tell you, you probably don't want to waste your money on this. You haven't seen this, right?
I have not seen it, no.
Mm-mm. Okay. I'm curious. Go see it this week just for information sake and just for conversation sake. But I was a little disappointed was probably an understatement. I thought the first part of this movie was riveting, did a great job, and then it's like somebody slowly let the air out of a tire. I don't know. You tell me what you think next week, and we'll go from there. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, and if you had high hopes of this movie, you may be disappointed if you're a big M. Night Shyamalan. No, nowhere near the caliber of even Lady in the Water, which I loved, and I know you loved too.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was reading through the movies forum, and of course we have a happening thread here in the movies forum. And I was looking through some of the people that have seen it, and most people down the line, Spencer, pretty much agree with you. You know, they say don't waste your money. I think you mentioned to me before the show that you'd be happier with a student film. With one exception, and that's from Valhalla's Valkyrie. And Valhalla's Valkyrie goes on to say, okay, so I went to see the movie last night with a boyfriend and a friend. Awesome. The subtlety he uses to get a message across is amazing. And yes, there is a message in this movie. If you missed it, it's because you were too busy bitching about M. Night. This is a movie that you cannot tell someone why you hate it, love it, without giving information that will spoil the movie. It's subtle and yet a smack in the face as well. And by the way, this is not a spoiler, so don't turn off your iPods. For his first R-rated movie, he sure made sure it had some teeth to it, and he didn't do bad, in my humble opinion, with his choice of actors. Only one I did not like was the wife, and I understand her role was written to be the way it was. He did not use shock and gore techniques to get people into the theater, something I give him props for. And what gore was in the movie, he gave plenty of warning what was coming, except for maybe one scene. So those who do not like blood and gore could turn away. This is a man who is subtle, something this society has managed to learn how to overlook. If you pay attention, you will get the meaning and leave the theater going, holy boop. And as a parting thought, for all of those of you who rely on someone else's opinion to see a movie, stop being sheep. If you want to see it, go see it no matter what someone else says. Only you can make your own opinions, no one else. So Valhalla's Valkyrie picks something up from it for sure. So, you know, and this brings me to my quick point, and I'll get off the whole M. Night thing. Now, I haven't seen it yet, and I know you have, Spencer, and this kind of happened after Lady in the Water. Now, I know you like Lady in the Water, Spencer, so don't get me wrong here.
Okay.
But I read every single review I could get my hands on for Lady in the Water, and I think everybody missed it. I don't think the I think 99.9% of people didn't get the movie. And, you know, obviously M. Night kind of dug himself a grave by, you know, having such a tremendous opening with The Sixth Sense and having that huge, tremendous twist at the end. But, you know, it seems to me that I'm kind of on page with Valhalla's Valkyrie here, that his message is so subtle, if you blink for a second, you miss it. And I think he's trying to embed it so deeply in there that you have to pay such great attention to the detail of it that maybe some people are missing this one. And I'm not accusing you of missing this. Again, I got to go see it for myself. You could be spot on. I mean, you were telling me that, you know, you could see boom mics in the shots. And, you know, if that's the case, man, that's, you know, it's pretty amateur unless it's intentional. That's my only point.
I'm not discouraging you from going to see it because I trust your opinion. You've got a history in show business, too. You understand movies. You understand setting up the characters and everything. I'm just really curious to what you have to say next week when we come back about this movie. Now, let's go ahead and jump off of this thread because this is obviously going to be very divisive for some folks, but let's jump into the rant column since I'm ranting anyway. This one's called No Sex, No Chocolate, No Alcohol, No Cigarettes. Crap!
Yeah. Again, one of those topics where you can't deny the you know, the selling point of the thread title. So you got to go into this one. Of course, this is in the rant and in our rant section. So go ahead and check this one out. Tell us a little bit about this one, Spencer.
All right, this one I came across this one, and of course the title is one of my favorite titles so far. FibroCat wrote this and posted it back on earlier today. What in the world? You get to the ripe old age of 49 years old, and all of a sudden you realize, I can't do squat. Because of my husband's old age problems, my menopause symptoms, and other medical problems, I'm restricted to a life deprivation, and it majorly sucks. We used to have such a wonderful sex life. Sigh. I miss that. But half the time, because of my own menopause symptoms and a lowered sex drive, I just don't care about it much at all. Or I'm hurting too much, and I don't want to do anything. This happens all the time. Sometimes I do, though, but nothing's going to happen because of my partner and his own lowered sex drive due to depression medication or because he's hurting from arthritis. This just bites big time. I found out my type 2 diabetic. Now I can't have sweets, carbohydrates, beer, wine, alcohol, or any other good stuff. Bites, bites, bites. They give me a new medicine for my fibromyalgia. It makes me hungry, and I gain about 15 pounds. Blood sugar goes haywire. Medicine works okay to help the pain, but geez, crap. Supposed to try to quit smoking. Yeah, right. Can't do anything else, but I'm supposed to give up my last bastion of relief, my last sanctuary of comfort and security, my soothing oral fixation habit. I refuse, damn it. I just flat refuse. Crap, crap, crappity, crap, crap, rant, rant, rant.
Well, it would appear that FibroCat definitely has some issues going on there.
Well, bless her heart. You know, as we do get older, we do have to understand that certain things will affect our sex drive. Now, for her husband's depression medication, you know what? There's some that don't cause sexual dysfunction. Ask your doctor about that, and that would probably help. As for the other stuff, you know what? We didn't get in this shape overnight. It's kind of like that old saying, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. I'm having a hard time giving up some things that I really enjoy. You may have to find suitable substitutes for the things that you kind of enjoy doing, or do something different. You know, as guys get older, Harleys. Harley Davidson's a good choice.
Oh, yeah. You can do Harleys. You know, in fact, somebody puts in, who is it, Ben 91069. So you can become an adrenaline junkie. Sorry about your problems, though. They say exercise helps diabetes. Perhaps it burns off more sugar so you can sample a few sweets and, you know, maybe hop on a motorcycle, take up dirt biking, ramp some cool stuff. You know, there's all sorts of things you can get your adrenaline through. Maybe, you know, maybe get a little exercise in the meantime.
Yeah, Snowflake Obsidian wrote, my fiance is type 2 diabetic. You can have chocolate and all the carby good stuff. You can't just go all hog wild nuts on the stuff. Well, depending on, you know, the severity of the condition also. I mean, check with your doctor on a lot of that stuff. But, of course, you know, like I said, as we get older, things start to fall apart. I mean, I get up and I've got something wrong with my knee. Now, it's not like I go out kickboxing every Friday night. But, I mean, I get up and this knee is swollen and I'm like, what did I do? And it's just, you know, getting older.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, I'm at that late part of my 20s now where I'm at the crossroads where I need to really start making some better decisions because I'm not in my 20s anymore. So it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, you got to cut back on a certain thing. You got to eat better. You got to do this. Got to start maybe exercising a little bit more because the metabolism isn't kicking in. You know, so I think it's just all about making the right decisions and making the right choices and sticking through with them, you know, and that's the crossroads. So you gotta get there. You got to figure out when that moment is and seize the opportunity. And it's never too late. It's never too late to, you know, get up, walk around the block, you know, get out and get some fresh air and go to the park or do a whole bunch of you get where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get out of that sedentary lifestyle. And but you're in a good spot, Doc. You're young enough to where you can make those decisions and they'll actually. You'll really show some benefits quickly, and that'll continue down as you get older, too, which is good. So, hey, thumbs up to you and everybody just kind of hanging in there, FibroCat, you know, hang in there. And like I said, check with your doctor, and if medications are causing sexual dysfunction, there are some depression medications that will not do that, but check with your doctor and see if there's some things that they can suggest to help you, too, kind of get out of that rut.
Absolutely. And that kind of conveniently puts us right into our relationships forum here on the Below Top Secret website. And this thread is called, I Just Can't Get Her Out of My Head. And MSC199 writes in and says, yes, there are probably 100 other threads like mine. I am new and I am really in need of some advice and don't have the mindset right now to go searching for answers. Anyways, here's my situation. I had been dating a girl for 11 months, so not terribly long. I really loved her, but things were getting too hard towards the end. Every time she would have a problem, I would try to help and she would shut me out. If I was lucky enough to get to help her, it would all end in tragedy. She would threaten to break up and straighten me out. It always worked. Then I did the same and it ended completely. Very quickly, I started dating someone else. My ex and I stopped talking for about 3 months. We started talking again, but nothing besides, hey, how are you, etc. I was really into my current relationship. This lasted around 6 months, and it ended. I was too hurt because my feelings for the girl died as quickly as they started. It has been 3 months since then. Now, about a month and a half ago, me and my ex start becoming a lot more friendly again. A hug every time we see each other and talking on a daily basis. She has admitted she misses us and still has feelings for me. I brought this up to her. Here's the problem. She has a boyfriend who she's really into, and that sucks because I just can't get her out of my mind. Which is the obvious title of the thread. I will be doing something and I will be reminded of her and it hurts. I can't have her and she keeps leading me on. Please let me know if I have normal feelings and I am so lonely and need some reassurance. And speaking from some personal experience of mine, absolutely this is normal. And you know what? Tons of fish in the sea. I know that's one of the most, you know, overrated, you know, quirky kind of comments to make. But it's true. You know, you just got to move on. And sometimes you're just not meant for that person. And you just have to move on and get past your feelings. And, you know, hop on to the next exciting chapter of your life. That's all I can say.
You know, Akira, who posted right after this, probably has some of the best advice that I've seen posted on BTS in the relationship forum. So I'm going to read this. And I'm going to skip through a lot of this. But you should read it for yourself because there's a lot of wisdom packed in here. Now, this is probably going to seem like some harsh advice, but it's advice I seriously live by, and it's the advice I give out to my friends who go through breakups and relationship issues. Look at all the good stuff. It's good, right? It's fun. It's great. It's awesome. You're walking on sunshine. It's perfect. This stuff is awesome. This stuff is what makes relationships worth all the hard work, the effort. The endless talks about random stuff that matters to you both. This is the icing on the cake. Now, look at the crap. She's reclusive. And she's threatening to break up with you to straighten you out. There are problems with the statement for two reasons. Why is she reclusive? Is it because she doesn't trust you? Is it because she deals with problems on her own? Does she not want you to see her at her most vulnerable states? Any of these are possible. I absolutely despise when someone says their significant other has threatened to break up with them. A breakup isn't a decision. A breakup isn't foreboding. A breakup isn't a threat. A breakup is a final move. A breakup is the end. A breakup is exactly that, a breakup. So if she's busy threatening to break up with you, then she should do it already. Don't threaten to, okay? That means, and that's harsh, and you don't need to be hurt like that. You don't need someone in your life like that. If she's threatening with a breakup, then chances are she's thinking about it. She's saying it because she wants to, or she's saying it to hurt you. Either way, it's a bad situation. And may I add, dump her, okay? Been there, gone through this. Anybody that would play this kind of emotional game with you, get rid of them. Yes, it hurts. Yes, you remember the fun times. Oh, man. But you don't remember all the garbage that went along with that. And you are worth more than that. You are more of a person than to be treated like that. So here's the deal. Dump them. Distance actually is your best friend at this point. So please take Carrot's advice, take my advice and Doc's advice, and say, adios. You know, you had your chance. You got a boyfriend. How about we just not ever see each other again?
Yeah, man. You know, kick her butt to the curb. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Go, Doc. Go, Doc. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's downright emotional abuse, too. She's threatening you to break up, and that's no good, man. And that will continue if you decide for some reason to get back together with her and she breaks up with her boyfriend and you guys get married and have babies. She is going to do that to you for the rest of your life. So that is something to think about.
Yeah.
You will meet someone who is suitable for you, who loves you for you, and who won't sit there and threaten to break up with your butt every time you, quote unquote, get out of line. So, yeah, man.
If you think she's a bitch now.
Oh, just wait.
Just wait. Just wait.
Just wait till the honeymoon's over. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, rock on with your bad self, my brother, and, you know, find a little more sunshine in the day.
That's right. And it does get better. And, you know, people told me this all the time. You know, time heals everything. And this too shall pass. And you know what? I despise them for saying that to me because at that point in my life, I did not believe it. But you know what? On this other side, I'm going, thank God this person is out of my life. Because I've got somebody in my life right now who is wonderful. And, you know, there's somebody out there for you. Kick this person to the curb and go shopping.
Yes. Yes. Agreed.
You know what? You know what, Doc? I think we could be love gurus.
Oh, yes. I am very, very interested in becoming a love guru. I can travel the world and help people with their relationships. We can have a good time together, Mr. Spencer.
You know what? We weren't going to actually plug this in at this point, but I thought, you know, what a good tie-in, because this looks like it's going to be a great movie. Mike Myers back on the big screen in The Love Guru. This is posted in the movies, The Love Guru forum. You know, place your thoughts on here, and of course, most of the material for the show is from you, from folks on Below Top Secret. You guys are the funniest and most insightful people, and Doc and I just love reading your threads, so please post on this. This was originally posted by Megaton, and even posted some of the movie trailers. This looks funny.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's the Mike Myers formula now. I mean, he's kind of got that down to a pat. He used it with all the Austin Powers movies, and that was very exciting. And now he's taking on a new character, and he's great. I mean, there's a reason why this guy makes $24 million every time he touches a movie. I mean, you know, he's been working on Trek, and he's been, you know, making fat paychecks off of all of that. So, you know, I trust him, and I think he's going to have a good movie here, and he's got some great actors in there. He's got that guy who was in 40-Year-Old Virgin who plays the hockey player. He's one of my favorites right now. I think he's one of the funniest guys on the screen. I think it's going to be a great movie. So make sure to tune in and post your thoughts on that one.
And he's got a little fuzzy Vern Troyer in there, too.
Oh, of course. And he always brings a spicy element to the movie, to say the very least.
Now, there's some controversy about this movie. A lot of people of Indian descent thought, well, this might not be the kind of representation that we want. We don't really know if we really want you to portray. I mean, even if in tongue in cheek, and we're pretty upset that he was, you know, portraying a guru, a love guru, in this movie. But I'm glad that World Watcher posted this supermod. Oh, I have to see this. Mike Myers is a crazy fool, and I love his movies. I especially like laughing at my own culture, So seeing him play an Indian guru is going to be quite entertaining. Bollywood influence should be all over this movie.
And for those of you who don't know what Bollywood is, one of my favorite things to do in the city is to eat Indian food. And you, sometimes you go into the Indian groceries and they will be playing some Bollywood. And it is some of the most entertaining television you have ever seen in your entire life. And I don't speak Indian and I don't know a whole lot about Indian culture, but this is some of the most entertaining stuff, and it's all done to song and dance, and it's very dramatic, and the music is tremendous, and so I think this is going to touch on that, and all the false prophets in India that run around and make millions of dollars and take poor people's last dime. I mean, just like, you know, here in the United States, we have those kinds of people too. I mean, they're televangelists, and they'll, you know, rob you for a bit of faith, and I think you know, the ability to laugh at that is, you know, something that makes our culture unique and something that makes our world unique. And I think if you lose that ability, I think you've lost a greater part of yourself. So I'm really excited to see this. I think it's going to be a great movie.
I do too. And we'll be back with more of the BTS Mix right after this.
Hey everyone, Doc Hancock here from the BTS Mix Show. The BTS Mix is a lot of fun, but when I need some serious mental stimulation, I know exactly where to go. Our sister shows here at the Above Network LLC. Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous over at the ATS Mix Show tackle a variety of current topics, ranging from hard-hitting events in the news to conspiracy theories to the mysterious world of UFOs. Here you'll find insightful discussions about member posts, member interviews, and exclusive interviews with experts in their fields. To quench my political cravings, I tune into the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Martin and Justin make sense out of this crazy political climate by discussing member posts, interviewing members about their stances on the issues, and interviewing noted political figures and authors. For politics, there is nowhere else to turn. So come on over and deny boredom with us at the BTS Mix Show, featuring Spencer Tracy and me, Doc Hancock. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, and deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Be a part of the revolution. It's Above Network, LLC.
It's awful. It's wrong. And I can't stop.
And welcome back, everybody, to the BTS Mix. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy. I want to remind you, we've got Mae Quinlan coming up. But more breaking news from the Breaking News Forum. R. Kelly found not guilty in a child pornography case. Doc?
Yeah, you know, the only reason why I decided that we should talk about this today, Spencer, is only because of that Dave Chappelle skit. When he's I don't know if you ever watched the Dave Chappelle Show, but he did the whole thing where he kind of remade the R. Kelly music video. And as we all know, you know, R. Kelly was found in that videotape apparently urinating on an underage prostitute, which was caught on tape. And yet, somehow, this guy was able to get a jury to convict him as not guilty in a child porn case. Now, I'm trying to figure this one out because, and I don't know all the details of the case, but for crying out loud, this girl was proven to be 13 years old at the time in a sex tape with Mr. Kelly. And, you know, I don't know where our society has gone to where the rich, the famous, and the wealthy can get away with something like this. You know, this could almost go into the rant section because this really ticks me off. I mean, it's the same thing with OJ and all these other guys who think they can murder their wives and kill people in their family and do all sorts of, you know, pit dogs to fight against one another. We all remember that case. And, you know, they just don't seem to get the book thrown at them that hard. I don't know. Maybe it's good lawyers or something.
Well, I don't know if good would be the term to use. People feel like they're above the law, and if they've got the money, then they can prove it. And that's a sad fact today. How he could be found innocent in this child pornography case when you've got video evidence of this taking place, of aberrant behavior. Yeah, sure, it happened a few years ago, but come on, you know, Chicago, come on. Really?
Yeah, I think user 6, and that's with 3 X's, hits right on the nose. That's horrible. give that case to anyone who isn't a celebrity and see what happens. R. Kelly is horribly guilty. This makes me so angry. And, you know, a big thanks to J Hill 76 for posting this, because it, you know, it just kind of keeps us all humble and reminds us what kind of a tilted society we can live in sometimes. But, you know, I didn't want to obviously talk about the details of this case too much, but, you know, this is just unreal. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, and out here in West Texas, of course, this isn't related to West Texas. I mean, they moved out here, this FLDS cult. There's allegations of sexual abuse, of tying girls down to the bed to have sex with them. I can't go into a lot of details because my sources, I'm just not going to reveal everything that they told me. But what I can tell you is it was a bad situation. I don't necessarily always agree with the children being taken away from the mothers. If the mothers are victims also, counseling obviously needs to be part of that rehabilitation program. But the guys involved in this should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, and no mercy whatsoever. If you are a sexual predator, if you're some type of sexual deviant, you're probably, you know, you're a bane to society. I've got a daughter, and I can promise you that I'm very, very protective, and I have a very low opinion of people that do this kind of stuff.
And a very big gun cabinet, I'm assuming, too.
Well, no comment. I don't think there was justice served in this case.
Oh, yeah, you know, and it really is. It's a bane to society, and it really lowers the bar, you know, for other idiots to run out and do this kind of stuff.
This is somebody's kid. This is somebody's daughter that you're doing this to. Where are the parents when well, obviously, they're not there because the child is 13 in prostitution. There's a whole list of wrong things that are going on at this point. And I'm, you know, I'm not stepping on my moral soap. Well, yeah, you know what? I can just a little bit. But I'm just saying, what's wrong with the families in America? What happened to the dads that would go, you know, that's my kid. You're not going to twist off. Where have the dads gone in this country? And it's scary. It's scary to think of what's out there. You can pull up online right now and you can see how many sexual predators, how many felons you've got in your neighborhood. You might be surprised how many you've got in your neighborhood. And you'd be surprised how many you have in your CD case now, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, while we're on the rant topic, let's move on into the rant section here. And this is a post by Lord Infamous. And it's very short, very sweet, very simple. And simply put, Lord Infamous wants you to cut your effing lawn. And he goes on to say that earlier I was walking my dog down the street and I happened to notice a yard whose grass was so unbelievably high it was disgusting. I just shook my head and thought, why can't these fools cut their damn lawn? It won't be long before snakes start slithering through that. Boop. Seriously. What's so hard about that? Get your own lawnmower, start at the boop up, and cut that boop. I don't know. It's just kind of pathetic to me that one could be that lazy. Anyone else agree? Yeah, man. Lord Infamous, I hear you. And, you know, it's a real shame that you walk down the block and you see so many other people who put in so much time and so much effort just to at least make their place look presentable. I mean, we're not talking you have to spend hours and hours out landscaping and fertilizing and all that stuff. But for crying out loud, if you have a lawn, cut it and take care of it. You owe that to the people you live around. If you live out in the middle of the country on 150 acres, man, let that grow as much as you want to. You're the one that has to deal with that. But when it affects other people and other people's property values and other people's just general sense of comfort with their surroundings, man, oh, man, get the lawnmower out, stop being a lazy boy, and cut that damn lawn. That's all I have to say about that.
Tell us how you really.
I will get on my moral high box about the cutting the grass, man. And I live in an apartment building. I don't even have a lawn to cut, and that's how important it is to me.
I'm going to get you like one of those little bonsai plants. That way you can feel, you can take out your frustration and breathe into peace and get some zen going on there, Doc.
Line up all my rocks, make sure everything's copacetic with itself.
There you go. Hey, well, you know, Asala posted something, and I want to tell you, I spent an entire day working on my yard. I mean, I get so much zen out of that. I call it yard zen, where I can go out and just kind of mow the grass, or I can trim, and yeah, it gets hot, but you know, I really don't consider that work because I feel like I'm doing something. There's a lot of people, I mean, you can drive through the neighborhoods and go, man, when's the last time you haven't cut that yard? You got weeds growing up. They're taller than your kids are. And at that point, you're kind of going, okay, property values are going down and you're becoming a pain in my ass. Now, there's another thing that needs to be considered, and I'm glad Asala, who is our very favorite super moderator for the BTS Mix Show, we love you, Asala, you're a sweetheart. She posted, well, maybe you should check who they are first. They could be old or disabled or don't have the money for a mower. So step up and give them a little hand. I never judged before knowing the whole story. I remember walking past a very wild garden. Like you, I tutted until I love that. I tutted until I saw an old lady who could barely walk.
is that like a kind of thing? Like, oh.
I think so. I'm not sure what that is. We'll have to talk to Asala again and find out what does that mean. But evidently a little old lady lived there and she could barely walk and, you know, obviously couldn't mow. So here's an idea. Find out who lives there first. You know, kind of keep an eye on the neighborhood. And this is kind of something I've been looking at. There's an old couple that lives right next to us, and I noticed their grass is getting a little high. So probably after I finish the show, because it's going to cool off enough to where I can do this, start up the mower, kind of run over there, run over their yard right quick, and I'm not even going to tell them I did it. You know, it's just kind of one of those, this is where you can do a random act of kindness. Now, there's some other people that can walk, that have legs and are just stinking lazy, or they're renters and they don't care about your property value. Those kind of people, you might want to leave a note on their door.
Well, although, man, I gotta put a flip side to a solid story. And yeah, that's absolutely great advice. Help your neighbors if they're elderly, disabled. Yeah, man, get out, lend a hand. That's a good thing to do. On the flip side of that, though, I have this neighbor and she is crazy. And that's crazy with a capital K, my friends. She is... let me put it to you this way. I was watching a friend of mine's dog, and he was this old Lhasa Apso, probably weighed 30, 35 pounds. So he was overweight. He was big. He was heavy. And he was a creature of habit, to say the very least. And every time he had to go out and do his number two, he needed a patch of grass to do it on. He wouldn't go anywhere else, and it was just one of those things where he had to be in that mental mindset where he was going on grass, and he knew he was going on grass. One of the great disadvantages, I live in Sunnyside, Queens, and in my neighborhood, it's a beautiful little neighborhood. Unfortunately, there is little to no grass. And there's this little tiny patch right off to the side of my apartment building. It's this kind of little driveway that goes down behind the building, and there's some additional parking back there. And there's a little tiny patch of grass. Well, you know, the dog had to go over there, and of course I pick up the poo. You know, I'm not one of those poo leavers. And sure enough, man, she starts yelling at me. And for no reason. The dog really hadn't even done anything yet. I get yelled at for that. Then later on, I'm walking my dog past her yard. And sure enough, right along her little gate, she's got this little tiny front area with a little tiny garden in it. And she's got these little plastic dividers up, pressed up against the fence so the dogs can't pee on her flowers. Then as I was walking my dog by, she goes, oh, if you walk your dog by my yard again, I'm going to poison it. How would that feel? Why don't I just come over and pee on your door? And the dog has never peed on her fence at all. So be careful about those old ladies, man. They can be crazy. That's all I'm going to say.
What you should have said is, hey, I think I'd like that if you came over and peed on my door. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be totally hot. Please come over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, pervert! And then they hang up and they leave you alone. Exactly. You know, people like that, you just kind of go, I know you don't have any outlet for your frustration, so I'll let it slide this time, but I think next time you say anything to me, I'm going to take a dump in your yard.
Yeah, oh yeah, well, I've considered it, man, just, you know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., old Doc's out in the front yard there, trousers down, you know, giving her something to yell at me about. I mean, if I'm going to get yelled at, I'm going to do something to be yelled at about.
What a big dog! It's a big dog!
A big, ugly dog. Oh, get him off the lawn. Get the broom, Charlie. He's on the lawn again. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Love thy neighbor.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get off this poopy subject. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but just remember that there's lots of people on the website that can help you with any number of computer issues, whether it's resizing a picture or helping you with making Windows Vista work on your computer or just any number of things. We've got some very knowledgeable people that can help you, and they're wonderful about that. But I read this, and I thought it was a different type of post, Doc, and I'll just read the title for you. Could someone help me resize this? So I was thinking the first one, obviously. I think, hey, great pickup line. Here we go. No, it's actually...
You don't have a blue sense of humor. You have a butthead sense of humor. It's like, could you help me resize this? I noticed you have braces. I have braces, too.
You know, that kind of... Oh, yeah, there's something wrong with us, folks, and that's why you listen. You know you do. All right, we'll be back with a special guest in just a minute. Mae Quinlan is up next on the BTS Mix.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
And welcome back to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And joining us right now is a very special guest. And this is Mae Quinlan. And she stars on the N Network South of Nowhere, which returned for its fourth season this March. She's also the creator, star, and producer of a new web series called Three Way, which is based on her real life. She starred with Morris Chestnut in Not Easily Broken, which was released by Screen Gems in January, and is currently starring in the upcoming Lifetime movie Primal Doubt with Janine Turner. Maeve played professional tennis and played at Wimbledon as well. How cool is that, man? That's great.
You know, tennis players have the greatest legs. Well, Maeve, how are things out in California?
You can hear my dogs in the background here. I'm actually talking to you in my car, which is what us Californians do here in L.A. We spend most of our time, unfortunately, in our car. But it looks sunny outside, and it's fantastic.
Poured the gas in the car, I guess.
Actually, I cannot. I drive a Navigator. I'm trying to be green in all areas, so I got to, you know, not 100%. This is certainly one of the most non-green things I do, is drive this Navigator. I filled it up the other day, and it was $140.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how much I can afford. But, you know, until I find a hybrid that's as big as this and something I can afford, I'm kind of stuck with it, with these two Golems. They come with me everywhere.
Oh, well, that's good. What are their names?
Mr. Guinness and Clancy.
Oh, you are my favorite person. I love Guinness.
So do I. So he actually... everyone asked me that, if I named him after the beer, and I actually named him after Sir Alec Guinness, but Sir Guinness just morphed into Mr. Guinness, so there you have it.
Well, that was my second guess, if you're a big Star Wars fan, or just a fan of the actor.
Yes, I'm a fan of the actor, and I'm 100% Irish. My whole family, my parents, my brothers, everybody, they still live over there. My parents now live, ironically, in Chicago, which is where I was brought up. But everyone else is, and one of my brothers, but the rest of my family, my other brother, all live in Ireland. So I have to keep the Irish names going.
Oh, great! Well, what part of Ireland do they live in?
My family's from Dublin, and my brother now lives in Wicklow, which is a beautiful countryside about half an hour outside of the city. His neighbor across the street is Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, but when I'm saying across the street, it's like across the street and 14 acres, you know, one of those things.
Being close to Daniel Day-Lewis is okay. He was out our way when he was shooting There Will Be Blood.
Oh, he was?
Yes, he was down in the West Texas area, just about 150, 120 miles from us. But in West Texas, that's a stone's throw. You can stand on a can, it's so flat here, and see for 200 miles.
Yeah, he's the loveliest guy. Anyway, so yes, so I'm Irish. I'm actually a dual citizen, but I'm Irish, and hence the name, Maeve. So.
Very nice, very nice. Well, you know, we have a lot of listeners in the UK, so I'm sure that they're all going to give a shout-out to you.
So that's awesome. Awesome. We've been really fortunate with the show is on South of Nowhere. We've got a huge UK following, and now my internet series Three Way. We also have a huge UK following. And so I absolutely, I love England to begin with. I've got so many friends from there, but now I really love the fan base.
Oh yeah. And well, let's talk a little bit about your career. I mean, you started off on The Bold and the Beautiful, didn't you?
I did, yeah, I did. I was on The Bold and the Beautiful for 11 years.
You had quite the fan following on Bold and the Beautiful, too.
We did. You know what? You're talking about UK. You know, The Bold and the Beautiful, most people would not think of this, but or know, or dream of, that it's the most watched television show in the world. It's in, I believe, 111 countries. And we are enormous in Italy. And they tried the show in England and Ireland. And funny enough, it didn't fly. It didn't do well on Sky, I think. They just didn't like it. I don't think they probably looked at our show like, what a bunch of Los Angeles, you know, twits. We are huge internationally, but for some reason, I guess we didn't excite them over there. But yeah, had a great time on Bold and Beautiful. I still consider them my, you know, good family. So it's awesome.
Okay, let's talk about South of Nowhere. Tell us a little bit about the show for those listeners who haven't seen the show.
South of Nowhere, we're entering our fourth season this fall. It's on a network called The N, which is an MTV network, and it's for all their scripted programming. MTV is obviously, you know, the videos and reality TV like Laguna Hills and things like that. And The N was structured for their scripted programming. And the show South of Nowhere, we've been nominated for many, many awards, and it's been critically acclaimed. Unfortunately, it's going to be our last season. The network is going to be becoming a little younger, and I think we're going to be running reruns on MTV. But the show is about a family from Ohio who move out to Los Angeles, and the family consists of the mother. I play the mother, who is a emergency room surgeon, and her husband, who's a social worker, and their three high school children, and that is a boy, Glenn, who is a big basketball star back in Ohio, their African-American son that they adopted. They are both sophomores when the series starts out, and our daughter Spencer, who was a, you know, just a darling, naive, fantastic girl, freshman year, lands herself now here in Los Angeles, and it's a whole new world for her. And as the series progresses, the dynamics of this family that was such a unified unit in Ohio, each one of these characters takes a very different journey, and the most significant journey is for Spencer, who whose sexuality she is just trying to understand. She is quite confused when she befriends a friend that is a lesbian, and she now is entering that world of wondering, well, am I? And as the series progresses, yes, she is. And her mother, played by myself, very Irish Catholic, and absolutely does not approve of this. And so it's really a coming of age story, and a story of identity across all fronts. Our African American son decides to look for his birth mother, who lives out here, and our other son gets hooked on Vicodin, and has a very he's the color. He's so funny. He's a great character, and then of course I deal with my stress by having an affair on my husband, and you know, things like that. So
so it's a normal American family. There you go.
There you have it. Yep. But it's changed a lot of, we've got such a huge fan base from teenagers, but what's nice about the store, this show, is that we have a huge adult following, and parents watching it with their kids, huge in the gay and lesbian community, obviously. We've been nominated for 2 GLAAD Awards for Best Drama. It's an authentic show. Great acting, fantastic directors. We've got people from, you know, Desperate Housewives directing, and we just but the writing is what makes this show, and it's created by a man named Tom Lynch. So we're very grateful for this. We wish the show could continue, because it's certainly it's been the most worthwhile show I've ever been on. So I've really enjoyed every moment of it.
Are you really feeling like this was some of your most productive work?
Yeah, because it's really nice, particularly now, you know, the internet, you get your fan mail that way, you know, as opposed to being on Bold and Beautiful. And now, of course, that's the same, as it's all internet, mostly internet based too, but you really get your fan mail in the forms of letters. On South of Nowhere, we the producers had us all have MySpace sites, and the kids already had it themselves. We have all the kids are really in their 20s playing, you know, 16 and 17. But for Rob Moran and myself, who play the parents, we're like, wait, we have to be on MySpace? Aren't we a little old for that? It was so fantastic, because you really get an instant understanding of how you're changing people's lives, and particularly for people coming out. I mean, it's really that they didn't feel so alone, and it was a show that, you know, even the adults would say that they wish they had a show like this. You know, when they were growing up, it was the Brady Bunch. Everything looked perfect and fantastic, and isn't it great? And, you know, it's this show shows a family who sticks through it through thick and thin, and really is the most loving family towards each other. But boy, do they go through a lot of difficult times. And each one of these stories is something that someone can relate to. That's what's so great. It's an ensemble piece with the story of my daughter definitely in the center, played brilliantly by Gabrielle Christian and her girlfriend, Mandy Musgrave. So, we've been very, very fortunate, yeah, to know that we've made a difference, which is great.
Maeve, your character, well, I guess you as an actress have had a lot of roles, and many of them, from the ones that I've seen, most of them have a very sexual theme. Is that something that you choose, or is that just by coincidence?
Gosh, you know what? Now, this character, it's funny. The character that I play on this is not sexual at all. She is very religious, homophobic, but not by homophobic by choice. It's really just, she actually just, that's her belief, you know, that it's wrong. The show itself, although when I describe it, it sounds quite sexual, it's actually really not. We had such limitations also to what anyone could do as far as the censors and stuff. It's actually really tastefully done, and there's nothing really seen or anything like that. But my roles before, I believe I've only really done one that was of sexual nature. So not really, no.
Do you want to talk about that, or shall we go to the next subject?
If you want to, absolutely.
Okay.
It's a movie called Ken Park that I did back in, I believe, 2001. It was Larry Clark's follow-up to Kids, where he won Sundance and, you know, discovered Chloe Sevigny and Rosario Dawson. And he developed what he wanted to be the follow-up, which was about kids out here in Los Angeles. Kids movie was about, you know, latchkey kids from New York, and this is about a world of skating sort of California free spirit kids and their screwed up parents. And my role was having a relationship with my 14-year-old daughter's boyfriend, and Kids itself, that movie disturbed me so much. And when this came around to me, they were looking at Heather Locklear. They were looking at a lot of girls that obviously weren't going to do the nudity that was involved. The reason I did it was twofold. Number one, Ed Lockman was also co-directing it, and he had just won an Oscar for Aaron Brockovich for DPing it. And also from being on the soap, I really wanted to show the gritty independent side. And the movie did phenomenally internationally and opened the Venice Film Festival and things like that. So I don't regret it in the least. You know, yes, it was a very sexual movie.
How do you get yourself in a place where you can be that free when you've got a cameraman, a sound guy, and there's actually something very intimate going on between you and another actor?
It's difficult. You know, I think you can ask that to anyone. It's very choreographed. In particular, they're usually closed sets. Ours was completely closed. It was just the two directors, and Ed Lockman, being the co-director, was also the DP. So we had he was behind the he was doubling as behind the camera, and we had a lighting person, and boom. So I think there were only four people in the room, and my wardrobe gal who would hold my robe. What's different about the rest of the movie, in my instance, I had a nudity rider about 3 inches thick, and he never touched me, believe it or not, inappropriately. He was never near a body part of mine. He could not touch, actually, anywhere near. So they had to fake it with camera angles. The camera was up by my shoulder looking down, so you thought that you were seeing something you actually weren't. So that made it easier, and, you know, if we want to be graphic about it, I was topless, but I was not clothes everywhere else, sort of, in the right places, we'll put it.
Sure, and I was just curious about that, because there's been a lot of lot made on the internet and in the movie circles that was like, it was so realistic for everyone. I was just wondering,
everyone else,
how do you...
I guess those kids didn't have the attorneys I had, so that was lucky. Yeah, if you look at it again. If he was really doing what he was really doing, if you watched the rest of the movie, you would have seen it from the angle where you could see what he was doing. So, yeah, that's if you look at, if you watch it, you'll see.
That. And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, well, if you see the movie, you'll know. There you go.
Exactly.
Well, you recently finished filming Not Easily Broken with Morris Chestnut.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. What a great experience. Bill Duke directed it, and Taraji Henson and Morris and myself were this. It's a story. It's a story about sort of a couple who are in a difficult spot in their marriage. He used to be a big baseball star, and he had an injury, and she was expecting to, Taraji Henson plays the wife, and she was expecting to be, you know, a baseball wife, and things don't work out that way. He ends up coaching Little League because he really wants to, and she gets into real estate and starts to do very well. So the dynamics of that relationship change, and a car accident happens that really, really throws something into that relationship that they didn't see. And I play the therapist that helps her recover after that accident. And a friendship ensues between myself and Morris Chestnut that, you know, really strain the ties of a marriage. And really only faith can really bring them through. It's quite a religious movie as far as faith and commitment. And it's beautifully written, and it was just a pleasure to act with them. And Morris Chestnut is the most amazing, nicest, caring guy, and I was really lucky to work with him. And Taraji's fantastic. And to be directed by Bill Duke was fantastic. So, and that comes out in January, and it's a Sony film, so feature film. So I'm looking forward to that.
Great. Well, we'll have to have you on again soon before the movie comes back out.
Yeah. And then I have a Lifetime movie coming out, I believe, October 5th with Janine Turner, remember her from Northern Exposure?
Oh, you bet.
Yeah, so called Primal Doubt.
Primal Doubt, that sounds serious.
Yeah. Actually, you said the sex thing, and I was like, well, I don't actually myself play the sexual person, only one time, really. Again, there is sex in this. Janine Turner plays a character who has an online relationship, a friendship with someone that turns possible that they might have an affair, and before that happens, he's murdered, and all fingers point towards her husband, and I play her best friend. She's an author, Janine is, and I also play her boss because I'm her editor and publishing company all rolled into one, and she and I sort of super sleuth to find out if the husband really did it or who did this. So,
but you're also multimedia. You're on the web, too, with Three Way.
Thank you very much. Three Way. Three Way is something that I'm so proud of. And Nancy Lee Myatt and myself are executive producers of it. I thought of the idea 2 years ago while Nancy Lee was the co-executive producer of South of Nowhere. And during our last season, the third season, which was last year, she no longer was a part of the show, and not by her choice because she loved this show, but the network just decided to. Sometimes they do that after 2 years. They bring in another, what's called showrunner, and it was a monumental mistake, in my opinion. But anyhow, we were sad to not work with each other, and I said, listen, I had an idea for a sitcom for some time in my mind, and I just don't know what to do with it. And so she loved the idea, and we did it. We put it on the web because it was going to be a difficult show to pitch to networks right off the bat. And we met with my agency, who said, you know what, just do it, just shoot it. And I had just done a guest star in a web series called Girl Trash, and I said, let's finance it, we'll do it ourselves, we'll put it up. And all of a sudden, we had this tremendous hit, and it's about. And why I came up with the idea is because it's about a single girl who lives with two lesbians following a divorce. And so, and when I thought of it, I was doing South of Nowhere playing this homophobe. And the reality is you're on the message boards, which you should never do as an actor, reading their comments, and which I understood from soaps too. Sometimes they blend the person with their character. And so they're saying, sure, they hate me and, you know, me personally for the things that my character was doing. And I just laughed at myself. And I thought, if they only saw my life, I was, one of my best friends needed a place to live because she was working out of town, but really her life is in Los Angeles. She was working up in Santa Barbara and Huntington Beach, and she needed a place. So I said, come please live with me. And she's one of my closest friends, and she happens to be a lesbian. And several months later, her new girlfriend moved in. And So that's where the idea came from. And but the beauty of it is collaborating with Nancy Lee Myatt and Paige Bernhardt, our other creator on this, who worked on South of Nowhere, is the idea that began in my mind became something above and beyond what I could have expected, and the fans absolutely love it. And we just won a New Now Logos New Now Next Award, Audience Award, and we are hoping to, we're keeping our fingers crossed that we can bring everybody a second season, whether it be on the internet or a network or both. Yeah, that's the next move for us, and hopefully a DVD coming out soon. So,
well, I have to tell you, I laughed my butt off during the yoga scene.
No pun intended after that first episode, right? I'm so glad. And, you know, the actresses that are involved with this are just really such a joy to work with and are my closest friends now. Miley Flanagan, who's on Reno 911, and Kathy Shim, who's also on Reno 911 and Mad TV, and Jill Bennett, who's on Dante's Cove and has her own internet vlog that's a huge success called We're Getting Nowhere, brings such not only talent, but just a uniqueness to these parts that maybe weren't even there on paper. So I'm really grateful for them for that. And just really, it's just been a tremendous experience. So I'm blessed. What was great about this is that we came up with the, you know, we already started, we were in pre-production on it prior to the writer's strike. And then the writer's strike happened, and we were doing it on the internet anyway. And it was the very thing, you know, that the writers were, I was out there picketing for the writers, and we were doing the internet show. So I'm really glad because I'm very, very happy and a big supporter of the writers. And I hope that we eventually, the deal that's in place will only grow and help everything that's going on the internet.
Fantastic. Well, Maeve, how can your fans get in touch with you?
Two ways. They can reach me. The best way to reach me really is on my MySpace. So it's myspace.com, Maeve Quinlan, right? Is that how you do it? Look for Maeve Quinlan's official site. I get back to each and every one of you. I also have my website, which is maevequinlan.com, but I actually really use my MySpace as far as my fan, getting back in fan mail and stuff, and that's probably the best way to reach me. So, and see me every week on freewaytv.tv.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Well, Maeve, pet the dogs for us. And I know that Doc was wishing that he could be here with me. He got tight. He's such a busy guy in New York.
Okay. Actually, give him my love. I hope to speak to him again soon. And when the movie comes out, I'd love to speak to you again. That would be great.
Oh, we'd love to have you on. Maeve Quinlan, and thank you so much for being on the BTS Mix Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
They're a vital part of our society.
They are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take them away!
And welcome back, everybody, to the BTS Mix. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy.
And, you know, you go out drinking some nights, and sometimes you just need a good hangover remedy. And this is in our general chit-chat forum. And 5 EAL Chris, so 5EAL Chris, I guess it is, writes in. And he spelled...
Maybe he's Fible.
Yeah. And he writes in and says... hangover remedies, and his first line of his post is, okay, so I'm extremely drunk right now, which is pretty apparent because he spells remedies R-E-M-I-D-E-S. So we know he's...
Spell check's a bitch when I'm drunk.
And he says, after a long day of drinking with my dad, I think that I'll probably have a hangover in the morning. Actually, I'm probably not even going to remember this, but I was wondering if anybody knows any good hangover cures. Because last time I had one, it was terrible, and I don't want it as bad as last time, so does anybody know any? My head is spinning. Thanks for all the replies I get. Spencer, you got any good hangover remedies? I mean, everybody's kind of got their own thing, I think. So what are yours?
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, my friend. So if you know that you're going to be drinking and drinking heavily, here's some things that you can do. You can drink a little bit of water ahead of time so you don't get overly dehydrated. It's like Dr. Spence's helper. You can also go out and eat some greasy Mexican food. Anything that's going to coat your innards with some grease that's going to inhibit the absorption of alcohol is always a great idea. So, you know, those beef or cheesy enchiladas with lots of grease on them? Yeah, swallow a few of those bad boys, and you won't have such a bad hangover. Now, for the after part, you have to kind of be careful because you don't want to overdo it on the Advil or the Tylenol because both of those can affect your organs, whether that's liver or kidneys, and they're already overworked trying to process all the alcohol in the first place. So obviously lots of water, drink lots of water. If you can keep Gatorade down, that's great. Any type of juice or vitamin C. Now, if you have any of that emergency, they usually have it for colds and things like that. That would be a good pick-me-up. Hit some of that, but again, you got to be able to keep that stuff down.
Yeah, or something interesting also to do is mix a little of that emergency in with your actual drink while you're drinking it. It might be a little gross, but it's all about the B vitamins. B vitamins cure a hangover like no tomorrow. You know, so if you can, you know, maybe drink some good juices, some good fresh fruit juice, not none of the concentrate stuff. If you're mixing drinks, if not, you know, try and get some B vitamins in there. And the key thing, man, is water. Spencer hit it right on the head. Water is so important because really what a hangover is, that headache you get is from the dehydration. And if you can keep that away, man, you'll be in real good shape.
Here, I got an idea, Doc. Hang on. Hey, Mo, come here for a second. I want you. See, Mo's got like a medical background. Okay, Doc and I are talking about hangover cures. One of the members wanted to know. So I'm just calling her in here while we're doing the show. What's a good hangover cure that you know of?
Throw it up and sleep it off.
Yay. Okay. Well, that wasn't very helpful. You want? Who wants to do that? Raise your hands. Oh, nobody's raising their hands. Okay, you can leave.
Well, hey, man, but when push comes to shove, that can be one of the greatest revivals from the dead that you can ever do. So, I think everybody's got their own thing. There's, of course, you can hit the old Bloody Mary in the morning, which, man, I got to tell you, if I've been drinking the night before, the last thing I can do is drink more. I mean, there's a whole hair of the dog philosophy, but I can't buy into that at all.
I tried that, and it worked for a little while, but I always felt like, oh, you were so screwed. You know, you're pounding alcohol on top of alcohol. So, but the Bloody Mary, the tomato juice isn't too bad with a little bit of Tabasco and Worcestershire. I mean, that'll help a little bit, but oh my gosh, yeah. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Eat a lot of greasy food if you're not going to do that. And just kind of watch it. I mean, you don't overdo it. Don't overindulge and you'll be fine.
Well, thanks, Mother Teresa. I'll keep that in mind. And that brings us right into the BTS Mix Screen Test. Very exciting, very exciting. We've got a good one this week, Spencer. I'm very excited about this one.
Yeah, now here's the deal. Now, the guys over at the ATS Mix kind of caught on. This was a really cool contest. So they decided they were going to steal our stuff. All right, which we don't mind. I mean, most of what we do is stolen anyway, so we don't care.
Yeah, well, you want to steal gold because it's solid gold. You know, you want to go after Fort Knox, of course.
Yeah, but, you know, they were offering more points, which, you know, we didn't think was too cool. We're only at 500 points for this. So I thought maybe for this show we'd do 10,000 BTS points.
How many thousand did you say?
10,000.
10,000 BTS points, man. Okay, well, this is a pretty good one, so it might be worth 10,000. So I'm going to make people stretch on this one.
And we may have to give it a point at a time, but we'll get your 10,000 one way or another.
Even if we have to pull every last point out of the BTS bank, we will do it.
We'll do it.
But all right. So it's time for the BTS Mix Screen Test, and here it is. This soap star has certainly had a remarkable rise to fame. In his primal beginnings, he made leaps and bounds by playing to kids and trying to find his dharma. It is no illusion that his incredible talent is genuine, and he will continue to put his career all in, so to speak. Who is this actor? And this week, fortunately for whoever guesses it right, and this really puts the onus on you to get in there and get on before Silent Shadow can, see if you can beat him this week. It'll be worth 10,000 BTS points for you. So definitely something to look into.
And that's a great question, Doc. 10,000 BTS points. All right, that does it for the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. A good week to one and all.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website, belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the above network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.
That's me. Yep. I shot the neighbors who were stealing cable. No, I'm
kidding. And roll, dude. Look at you, Mr. MacGyver. That's all right.
You bastards are slowing my bandwidth down. Come here. All right. Enough.
I just don't have the power to talk on the Skype.
Oh, there's something wrong with me. Okay, here we go.